I am overwhelmed with emotion, and I need to pray. So if you would, please pray with me. Our God and our Father, we come here today to worship you, to praise you, to thank you for the love that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And yeah. Father, we ask your blessing upon this time. Father, purify our hearts, open them up, and Father, I pray that everything that I say will be true. Father, I pray that my weakness will be hidden by your strength and your glory. Father, please use me and bless this time together as a family. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, I haven't had an opportunity to talk to y'all but I want to thank you for loving me and loving my family. It's going on 14 years now. God called Abraham. God called us through you. And you took us in and you loved us. You showed us Jesus. In your hearts, we saw him. And you took us four in. And you loved us. You accepted us. You helped teach us. And I thank you so much. I love you so much. I was reborn in this church. And you have raised me. You're my family. Amen. Decisions. Jerry's talking about wisdom to make decisions. We didn't get together on that. We're coming at it from, I think, different perspectives, only that he's very mature in the faith, and I'm getting there, but I struggle with decisions, and life is full of decisions. And every decision that we make will affect everybody around us, one way or another. That's been my struggle, and that's what I thought, because God has brought me to a point in decision making over the past few years. I've had to make a lot of decisions. Where I am responsible for, solely. I pray, I seek counsel, I study God's Word, I study Proverbs. Yes, it has saved me from a lot of mistakes, but that doesn't keep us from making mistakes. That's part of our journey. If we didn't make mistakes, we wouldn't need Jesus because we wouldn't sin. But we're going to make mistakes. You know, we can make good decisions. And we do make good decisions. We're Christians. We're supposed to make good decisions. We have wisdom the world does not have. And we have some good outcomes from those good decisions. The struggle that I've been struggling with is how you make a good decision, but the outcome doesn't always turn out good. We love the Lord. We study His Word. We pray. We seek guidance from wise people. We make the decision, and somehow it doesn't turn out the way we thought it would. We don't think it turned out the best way. And that can beat you up after a while. A couple of those, God, just tell me what to do. And He does tell us what to do. Sometimes we just make bad decisions. Every time we sin, that's a bad decision. And we do that too. Well, what I thought we'd do is I thought we would look at Abraham, Father Abraham, and look at his journey. and look at some of the decisions that he made. And as we read in the text, the scripture reading, God asked Abraham to leave his home, to leave his comfort. I thought of James. I thought when your house burnt down, you had to go live in an apartment somewhere. It wasn't home, was it? It was not home. Be it ever so humble, there is no place like home. You know, we're done with Boy Scouts, but when we went camping, the best thing about camping for me is coming home and sleeping in my bed. God told him to leave that. He also told him to leave all his kinfolk. You know, the safety net back then, there was no government safety net. It was your family. You look after one another. You were a tribe. You took care of one another. That was your security. You know, you would help one another through the hard times. And God asked him to leave that. He asked him to follow him to a place that he didn't know anything about. And he did this at the age of 75 years old. He asked him to do something very, very hard. To trust in him and to believe in him. Jesus said, the work of God is to believe. And Abraham was a man. He was a man with free will. He made a decision to trust God. And it was the greatest decision that he ever made. And that is the greatest decision that we ever made as children of God. When we decided to follow Jesus, not knowing where we were going, just he made a promise to us that he was going to take us to a promised land and we will get to that promised land. But we believed him. But Abraham had struggles, just like you and I. In Genesis 12, in verse 10 through 16. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there a while because of the famine was so severe. You know, it wasn't always easy, and God tells us, this life's not going to be. In this life, you will have trouble. Abraham had trouble. Had a famine. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, I'm going to call him Sarah because that's what they ended with. Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abraham came to Egypt, to the Egyptians saw Sarah and saw she was very beautiful. And when Pharaoh's officials saw Bess, they praised her to Pharaoh. And she was taken into his palace. And how wrong was that? How does a man let another man take his wife into their house? Who does that? The reason was to spare his life. He didn't trust God enough to protect him. And he let his wife go into another man's house. I mean, even by worldly standards, that's just wrong. But Abraham did that. And I'm not trying to bring Abraham down. I want to glorify God. I want to look at how merciful and how gracious our God is. The Lord protected Sarah. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because at Abraham's wife, Sarah, so Pharaoh summoned Oh, so Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me? He said. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. The Pharaoh gave orders about Abraham to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. And God protected his wife, and he protected Abraham. How many times have we made a bad decision, and God has protected us through his grace? I mean, we could have lost everything. Every time we sin, he does that. Every time we sin, he protects us. When we repent and we go to him and we ask for forgiveness, he takes away that sin. But even as we walk in this life, God protects us. Even though we mess up, he protects us. Just like he protected Abraham. We all have stories. Bad decision on Abraham's part. But God was merciful. In chapter 17, the covenant of circumcision. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant with you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is the covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. Abraham was 99 years old. And God asked him to be circumcised. Asked him to be circumcised. And I'm sure that was very painful. And that was quite a decision to make. I did not have to make that decision. We all... I don't want to make light of it. I mean, is it any coincidence that God picked that? And I don't know, I'm trying to stay above the fray here, but how serious is that? And how big of a decision it is? And God calls us to do some very hard things, doesn't he? That was a very hard thing for Abraham. But God calls us to do some very hard things. He asks us, he tells us to love our enemies. He tells us to forgive people. Abraham listened, and he was circumcised. What does sex mean to God? How serious is he about sex? In this world that we live in, where everything is about sex, where you can't sit down without a Viagra commercial coming on, where it's just gotten so bad, and it's bad for our children. And God tells us, he tells us what he expects of us. Just like he told Abraham, circumcise. He tells us, abstain. That is for marriage. It's between a man and a woman. Hard thing God tells us to do. Abraham listened. He listened to God. No matter how hard it was, he listened to God. That is what's so great about Abraham. Now if we look at Genesis 16. Genesis 16:1-4. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah's wife took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew that she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between me and you." Sarah's idea, this was all her idea. And she gave this idea to Abram. And it sounded like a good idea. His wife was agreed to. It wasn't wrong. He can take another wife. And he would have a child. But it backfired. It backfired because his whole household got upset by it. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever done something with a good heart and it just blew apart? Have you ever bought a used car and it broke down right after the 30-day warranty? You bought a lemon. You had every intention of buying a good car. You did your homework. Now, in hindsight, Abraham could have told his wife, "Oh, honey, you are the only one," and told her no. But there was a lot of pain in the house. A lot of pain. Sarah said that he was responsible. That's one thing that we need to understand is when we make a decision, it's our responsibility. And that's one of the fears of making a decision. It's your decision to make. There's no blaming somebody else. He can't blame Sarah. Ultimately, it was his decision to make. Adam tried that with Eve. Said, "She gave me the fruit. She told me to eat it." The blame game has been going on for a long time. But ultimately, our decisions we are responsible for. So she was right. It was his responsibility. But it was a very unwise decision. I don't think the intent was as bad as letting his wife go into another man's house. But he made a mistake. And we do too. And that can get us kind of gun-shy. The slave woman had Abraham's first son, Ishmael. His first son. And that was his son. He loved his son. He raised his son. He raised him up. They were circumcised together. They had a very special relationship. But God had promised Sarah that she was going to have a child. And when God makes a promise, He keeps it. So in chapter 21 of Genesis, Isaac is born. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham to his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son of whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking, and she said to Abraham, "Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share the inheritance of my son Isaac." Listen to this. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. Look what God did. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." So God told him to listen to Sarah. Sarah's the one that kind of got him into this mess by her idea, and he wants her. God tells him to listen to his wife. Abraham listened to Sarah, and he made a hard decision. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water, and gave them to Hagar. He set them on their shoulder and then sent them off on their way. And they wandered in the desert. Abraham had to let go of his son that he loved. Another hard thing. That God asked Abraham to do some very hard things. And that's a very, very sad story. Because of his decision, he brought all that turmoil on his house. And then 13, 14 years later, it emerged again. And ultimately, he had to send his son off, his firstborn son that he loved. Give him some food and send him on their way. Hard. Abraham is a friend of God, Scripture says. He's a keeper of God's commandments, a recipient of God's promise. Abraham obeyed God. God spoke and he listened. God speaks to us through His Word, through people He sends into our lives that confirm that Word and that love us, and we are a brother's keeper. But God tells us in black and white what He wants us to do. We know what He says is true. And Abraham did what, when God told Abraham to do something, he did it, no matter how hard it was. The trouble Abraham had was when God didn't tell him, when God allowed him to handle a situation. Not that we handle the situation on our own, but he was a man. He made mistakes. The most frustrating thing for me is, I love the Lord. We love the Lord. We want to do what He wants us to do. Lord, please just tell me. But He wants us to grow. Failure comes with success. We're learning from His failure. Abraham, we're learning from His... Today, we're learning. We will continue to learn from His failures. People will learn from our failures. We talked about this morning. You're going to fail. The thing Abraham didn't do, he didn't go back home. He continued the journey. And he followed God. God lifted him up. God's in control. He took care of every situation. Yes, it was hard. Yes, it hurt. But God took control. We need to make wise decisions, Jerry. We do. But we're not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes. And we can't let that paralyze us. We deal with what information we have with a heart for the Lord. We pray. We seek guidance in His Word. We seek guidance from one another. And we make a decision. And what we need to learn is, after that, let the Lord take care of it. It's going to work out the way that He wants it to. We just need to do what He tells us to do. God knows our heart. He knows the outcome. And He's going to protect us. He has up to this point. He promises He's not going to stop. So don't be distressed. Get back up. Make your decisions. You do the best that you can with a clean heart for the Lord. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. It is dark in here. We need a light. Right? By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I don't know about you, but the longer I live, the more I don't belong here. And the more I look forward to going home. Abraham's a great example that even though we mess up, God still loves us. He wants our obedience. Thank you for letting me get up here. Thank you. You know, Abraham was called. God called him. And I believe what I've spoke today is a calling for whoever has not made that decision to leave everything that they're comfortable with and put your trust in Him. So if you hear God's call and you're ready to take that journey, if it's that time, we can do that today. If you want to follow God to the promised land, now's the time. Don't put it off. But if you're hurting or if you're in need of prayer, I asked you to pray with me before I started. Prayer is powerful. And prayer in this church is very powerful with the righteous people that you are. So if you need any help, please come forward as we sing a song.